This is a Clock Shelves Podcast Network production.
And welcome to another episode of MCU and Me. As always, I am Paul Casey, and we are now at the point in the Marvel Cinematic Universe where we are delving into the TV side of things. And to join me today, we have a new guest and a returning guest. Go ahead and introduce yourselves, guys.
Coming back one more time, the powerhouse of podcasting, Kevin Zane, here on MCU and Me. Happy to be here.
Hey, what's up? New guest over here. My name's Ellsworth Hamilton Tallman. It's nice to meet you guys. Thanks for having me, Paul.
Kevin. Kevin said, I have a friend who's a Marvel guy just watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for the very first time. And that's actually what we're going to be discussing today is the first three episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But the interesting thing that I found was that you're watching this for the very first time, Ellsworth. So I kind of, as a first-time guest, I kind of have to ask the standard first-time guest questions of like how, when, and why did you get into the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Oh, how I'm not quite sure. I grew up Marvel, DC comic book related. You know, I can honestly say most of the MCU I probably seen with Kevin there. And we were doing the midnight showings before it was the thing to do, really, too, to be honest with you.
For sure.
Even before there were MCU the midnight showings, before there were even sold out tickets or crowded theaters with Kevin. I don't know more about, I mean, I dove into it. I never really watched this particular show, though. And I know it streamlines a lot with the MCU. And I feel bad as someone who is, you know, about the MCU that I never watched this particular show.
And especially you see a lot of that here in the first three episodes. They really are pretty heavy handed with their references to the MCU proper. You start right off and seeing the Avengers action figures, them setting up the battle in New York and everything, and references to the Chitauri, and Maria Hill shows up. There's a Stark Industries ad on the bus in the city there. You know, they're pretty heavy handed with it all here in the beginning, but, you know, I typically when we've talked about these movies prior to this, Paul, we've obviously referenced stuff that happens in the future. It's not too worried about spoilers, but I'm going to try to avoid that, at least for this episode, because like we said, Ellsworth is watching this for the first time. He's only three episodes deep. I don't want to ruin too much for him. I'd hate if that was done to me. So
I'm completely in agreement. I mean, you know, Kev, when it comes to me, I'm relatively okay with spoilers. And I know that part of the difference between this and, you know, Lost with Friends, which we did and whatever, like at a certain point with that show, it just got to the point where you couldn't not talk about stuff. It got to be about episode, I think, 11 of the podcast. You hear they're out searching for, you know, quick side note, they're out searching for somebody, I'm not going to say who, you hear a clang on the ground at the end of one of the episodes, and basically that kind of sets up arguably the rest of the entire series, or a good portion of stuff, so you couldn't not, you know, you couldn't really avoid spoilers, but I feel like with a lot of stuff with the MCU, especially the TV series, and this one in particular, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so like to go along with what Ellsworth was saying, like, you know, he said like, oh, he wasn't really into this. I've actually heard that from a lot of people, like, you know, in kind of getting people to be on this show. Of course, everybody has seen, you know, the movies or whatever, but many of our friends are very much, you know, just the movies. You know, I'm not necessarily going to name names, but a lot of people, oh, I watched the first few and it was, you know, it was a little slower and whatever. And I try to tell people it's similar to a show like A Fringe or The X-Files, where it starts out very episode of the week. And then it does definitely get into that serialized thing. But for a lot of people, for whatever reason, they just kind of stopped after the first few episodes. And I think that they're missing out personally.
Well, Paul, I'm definitely going to see this one through. You name Fringe, which Fringe is by far probably one of my top favorite shows. And I feel like it was a very slept on show to begin with. I have watched all the other MCU TV shows except for this one, really. I do like a lot of the tie-ins. I do like the cast so far. You know, they gave me some muscle. You know, they gave me cute spy computer geek chick. You know, I mean, I like what we're working with. I like the recipe. I want to see what we're cooking. So I definitely am going to see it through.
Well, that was, I've said before, the thing that kind of got me into the MCU was the fact that I'm a big Joss Whedon fan. So, okay. You know, I knew he did the Avengers and stuff, and I was just like, okay, but, like, I knew it was a team-up thing, and I was like, oh, I don't want to have to go back and watch everything and, you know, whatever. And then I heard he's doing a TV series set in that thing, so I was like, okay. And then I spent, like, the summer before kind of binging all of the movies from the first Iron Man all the way up to Iron Man 3 because I was like, okay, Joss Whedon coming back to television, that's a huge deal for somebody like me who's a big fan. So that's what kind of made me get into this. So even seeing the cast, which, and I said this to another friend of ours, Lisa, I said to her, like, because she said she had never seen it. She, you know, didn't see anybody really that she recognized from the cast other than Coulson. And I'm like, yeah, there wasn't necessarily like big names that you know, but they very much fit in like early on. And like watching it again recently, like I noticed a lot of people who are recurring Joss Whedon people, both in the credits and, you know, actually on screen. But I feel like, kind of like you said, like they kind of fit everybody in very well.
Yeah, and please, guys, it's spoilers. Yes, I'm not a fan, but I know I am catching up late. I already understand, like, I do know that there are a lot of this show ties in, so I'm not worried about, you know, and I already do know I'm getting some mystery set up because they're, you know, I mean, we have a main character that we all know was killed off, kind of, or was supposed to have been killed off, so.
Well, okay, so it's funny you say that because as I was watching it earlier, I'm sitting there and in the part where Maria Hill and the character played by Ron Glass, I don't remember, he's the guy who's like, oh, you know, I'm not so sure about signing off on you, Coulson, at the very beginning. He's a recurring Joss Whedon guy. So, of course, when he popped up, I'm like, oh, hey, it's that guy. But he they mention about Tahiti, you know, and then he says, oh,
it's a magical place.
Yeah, it is a magical place. But he says he still doesn't know. And in my head, all I hear is a particular voice going, foreshadowing.
Nah. Oh, listen, I have it in my notes on for every episode because they bring up Tahiti. Like, I already know. Listen, I know it's something. I just don't know what I'm getting into. But, yes, I wrote notes down, and in my notes it says, on every episode they've mentioned Tahiti being a magical place. So, you know, I'm the same way, man. Paul, I was like, I'm not stupid. This is definitely ding, 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 ding. Take note of this. This is coming back around.
It's so funny to me, you know, how you're going into this blind so many years later. But that putting that aside, I'm really surprised with how much, like, obviously we know it, Paul, how much they did set up here in these first three episodes because I don't think I'm spoiling too much to say there's going to be a lot of callbacks to the things we've seen already and things that have been mentioned that they're really going to dig deeper into later.
Oh, yeah.
And that really surprised me for a show where you weren't sure if it was going to catch on or you know, it's very much a network TV show in that respect, that they set so much up.
And like I said, like the fact that a lot of our friends and just people that I've talked with in general are like, you know, yeah, I like the films, but I couldn't get into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it's just like, and I get it. Like for some people, they thought it started out slower and, you know, it wasn't. And it's not going to be, you know, Iron Man or Thor every week. And I don't just mean those characters, but I mean like the, oh, you know, the, you know, major special effects and all that stuff. You're not going to get that because, like you just said, Kevin, it's a network show and they have to work within the TV budget and, you know what I mean, just all that general stuff that you can do in film versus what you can do on TV. I think they pulled it off really well. And I say that as somebody, like, again, I'm, you know, obviously, like I said, huge Joss Whedon fan. But realistically, just like a lot of other things that he's done in the last few years, and, you know, J.J. Abrams was the same way, he kind of started it off and then he stepped away and left it to other people. And I think they carried it very well for the rest of the show. And it's just kind of, I don't want to say sad or upsetting, but it's just like, huh, why didn't people stick with this show more?
I mean, I can say I jump on things kind of late anyways. I got into Lost very late. Like, I kind of come around years later. But it's a very, I see now it is going to be a very character-driven show. You know, I'm not going to get, you're right, what I would get out of necessarily the movies. But I can't see that, and it did last this long for a reason, so it definitely has to have some kind of meat and potatoes behind it to be sustainable for this long. So, I mean, I'm kind of excited now. You guys kind of got me pumped up to really get into this show, so I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
And it takes a lot of twists and turns going forward. Like, it's not always going to be what it is now, for sure.
And that makes me even feel more excited because I like shit that twists and turns.
Like I said, it starts out, for better or worse, it starts out very, like I said, sort of case of the week. And we see that in the very first episode. We have the character of Mike Peterson, who's also, again, another Joss Whedon alum. He was a major character in Angel. And, you know, he's there and he has superpowers. And it very much also picks up off of kind of the tail end of Iron Man 3 as well, because it's very much the Extremis sort of storyline. So they almost immediately, like Kev, you said about the action figures and stuff, but I feel like just with that storyline alone being in the very first episode, that's kind of another, you know, nod or what have you to this is in the same universe as the films. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I honestly didn't do the timeline that I normally would do for something like this to try and match it up. But this, do you know offhand how soon this aired after Iron Man 3 was released?
Actually, I have. If you give me a moment, I have a thing here. So I don't remember when Iron Man 3 was released, but this was September of 2013, and Iron Man was
that year, I would assume.
May of 2013.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right.
So, and I mean, realistically, again, I don't think it's giving too much away to say they really try to do that with a lot of the films if they can going forward. Obviously, like, you know, later on they're not going to have like Doctor Strange storyline or Guardians of the Galaxy storyline necessarily cross over into the show because, you know, it's on completely opposite ends of the world or the galaxy or the universe or what have you, but they definitely do, you know, kind of mix in, you know, magic or, you know, space and, you know what I mean? Like things like that. So they very much do a good job of tying in the actual cinematic film versions of a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, and especially early on, you get characters from the films, you know, pop up here and there. And obviously, Ellsworth, I'm not spoiling anything to tell you. You know what happens to S.H.I.E.L.D. During the events of the Winter Soldier.
I mean, of course. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, so for me to know that the show continues, it's also cool to be like, wow, I have no – what are they going to be doing? What is going to be happening during that time with these characters? Because it obviously is going to be – in the same universe, and it is still happening during that time.
And I feel like that's one of the big things that a lot of people, I mean, again, not to get too far ahead, because, you know, trying to just do the first three, but like I said, like a lot of these early ones, even the next few, are still, you know, like Ellsworth said, they're character-driven stories, and, you know, that's I think what you need for a good TV show like this. But they do have their case of the week things. Like I said, the first one being Mike Peterson, the second one being the 084, and the third one being the gravitonium.
Yes.
Yeah, that weird metal that messed up the gravity.
Yeah. And so, yeah. Like, they have, you know, like, different things like that. And, of course, we get to learn a bit more about Sky and Coulson and even, you know, finding out things about May as we go along and stuff. But it is very
much... Yeah,
she's
a hidden badass?
Oh, you didn't see that coming?
I mean, I figured there was some when he was, like, asking her. I was like, oh, she gonna be, like, something crazy. But, like, I didn't know it was gonna be like that, like... She's like legendary and shit. Like Fitz and Simmons were like, oh, that's who she is? Yeah.
And talking about the characters, and earlier we talked about the cast and how diverse it was and everything. Let me just say, it struck me right off the bat, especially going back and watching. Chloe Bennett as Sky is
hot.
Well, yeah. But she
my type.
Yeah. Outstanding in this role. And for someone who was basically a wannabe pop star before this and had done maybe like 7 episodes in Nashville is what I'm looking at. Other than that, had really no acting experience whatsoever. Really came out the gates and was great. I think she really established herself as the center character and did a great job before anyone else in this show. Even more so than Coulson. And for her to do that and still, you know, be going, here we are about to be 6 seasons later.
I feel like the benefit, I mean, obviously Coulson is putting this team together and that's kind of the thing that kickstarts the whole series. But I feel like the benefit of that character, I mean, yes, Chloe Bennett has done a fantastic job in this series overall, but I feel like the benefit of that character is... she's the audience surrogate, sort of, in that, right? Because, like, we start out and she's, you know, trying to expose S.H.I.E.L.D. and the fact that there's all of these, you know, super-powered people out there and, you know, the government's hiding it and all this other stuff. And then she gets recruited to work for this government agency and she has no idea about certain things and whatever. And that's very much us because, I mean, obviously they don't know to the extent of everything going on with Coulson. They just think, you know, most of the characters think that they faked his death to motivate the Avengers or whatever. Obviously we saw it. We maybe know different and, you know, whatever. But, like, she's very much the audience surrogate in that way of she doesn't really have any idea about this world. And we have a very limited knowledge of this world too. And I think she does a very good job being that character.
For sure. And I think even more so right now, like if this were to air right now, you have a lot of people who are questioning the government, so to speak, and kind of doubting what they're being told and looking for the truth and out there trying to connect online. So this character should definitely connect with people, especially right now.
The rising tide.
Mm.
Yeah.
No, honestly, she definitely steals somewhat of the show right from the beginning. And I noticed that. So listening to you guys, like, kind of, you know, say what you're saying. It sounds like she kind of does come in, but I mean, as someone who watched and you're building this team, yeah, she kind of, when she walked, yeah, she kind of takes the show away from everybody. It's nice.
And I may have to continually refer to her as Chloe Bennett to avoid any confusion with any other names.
But it's so, okay, so Ellsworth, I have to ask, just like you said, first time watching this, what, I mean, knowing what you know about the MCU and everything else going forward, like, was there anything, you know, like we said, the cast and some of the tie-ins, was there anything else that kind of popped out to you within these first few episodes? Even, like you said, you were a comic book fan, so they referenced some comic book-related stuff, too.
Yeah, I mean, they break down, they reference a lot of different things. They tie in, you know, a lot of the characters that we've seen, like the smaller characters we've seen. And then some of the new gadgets we get to see was cool. You get to see some things that aren't like crazy, crazy Stark wow gadgets, but like other little stuff that S.H.I.E.L.D. has, you know, you get to see the bus. I mean, that I would like to fly around in a bus like that.
Those gadgets are some of my favorite things.
You know, the little drones are dope. I mean, the rod that Ward uses when he jumps and power slams it into the ground. I mean, you get to see some cool little gadgets that you don't get to, that you didn't get to see, you know, on film or in other shows. That, you know, there's other stuff in that world that they don't show you. So it's cool to get to see, you know, a take on some of the other stuff that's going on inside this universe.
I feel like that right there is the key to this show, and I would even argue Agent Carter a little down the line, is it's other kind of pockets of the universe, right? Like, that's obviously what Guardians of the Galaxy did to a certain extent, and, you know, Doctor Strange, and again, not to get too spoilery just in general, but they show other little pockets of the universe. And you know, if you're a film person, you know, that's fine, I get it. But that's one of the things that I like about this TV series and you know, some of the others in particular, is they show you other aspects and other things going on within this universe. Because like Kevin said, there are action figures of the Avengers, and, you know, the Extremis plot from Iron Man 3 did continue, and kind of what did that lead to? Because a lot of that stuff doesn't just necessarily go away by the, I mean, you know, film is two and a half, 3 hours, whatever it is,
right,
a beginning, middle, and end. But realistically, with this being an ongoing, you know, universe or a continuing story, everything has repercussions. And I mean, there's not to the point where at one point they were going to be developing a damage control series where, you know, it was going to be kind of after all the major fights they would go in and clean up. This isn't that, but they still do have to clean up some of the stuff. Like, they're still finding some, like, Chitauri artifacts and things like that. So they are still very much cleaning up after, you know, the Battle of New York back in the original Avengers movie.
And they do it later, too. It's not the last time that, you know, that there's a tie-in like that. And going back to you know, just the tactics and the techniques and all the gadgets that they use, I got to say, like, the fighting on this show, the fight scenes are, I think, very underrated. They get even better going forward, but starting off, they were just really good from the start, like more than you would expect to for something just on network television, put it that way.
Oh, and you know what they cleared up? They cleared up the communications right off the rip when he gets on the bus with the whole new DNA communications.
Yeah, because that was a thing in the Avengers, right? Everybody was like, you know,
how are they communicating and talking to each other?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and they kind of worked that into the clear that up on the TV show right there.
Well, I know, like, just with all the gadgets and everything else, I was reading very briefly that the president of ABC at the time made mention that, like, the budget for this show in regards to effects and everything else, which I would assume would probably go into, like, the fighting, like you were just talking about, Kevin. He compared it to the scale of Once Upon a Time, which, of course, because they use a lot of CG on that show, there was a lot, you know, that obviously had, like, a much bigger budget than, say, a Lost, which preceded it, and, you know what I mean, like, just other network shows at the time. So they were it seems, at least at the beginning, that ABC was very much, you know, they really wanted to be in this Marvel TV business. So it was kind of like, and, you know, with it being Joss Whedon and, you know, whatever, like, it makes sense that they would almost throw as much money at it as they could.
Oh, for sure. It looked big budget for sure.
I feel it was, like, years later, obviously, but the CGI on this show far superior to that on Lost.
Yeah. But I feel like Ellsworth just said it, like, it seems big budget, and I feel like, obviously, as the show goes on, it's like we said earlier, you're not going to see everything that you're going to see in a film. It is a TV budget, but I feel like with the scope of the stories they tell, whether it be these episodic things or, you know, as we get more into the serialized aspect of the show or whatever, I feel like they've never necessarily tried to go for something that they couldn't achieve with their budget. Even if it was, hey, we may not have as big a budget this time, so we're going to go with a bit more of a smaller scale story. But it was still enough to make you, like, that interest. Like, that was where, okay, so the budget for the effects aren't as good, so let's amp up the writing a little bit. You know what I mean? And I feel like the show overall, these first few episodes, of course, but I feel like the show overall did a really good job of balancing. We do have this time. We don't have this time. Let's pick up with it in other areas.
I'm really excited. Like, now I'm more excited the more we talk about it and, like, listening to you guys, knowing that I'm like, I'm walking into something a little greater than I thought it was going to be, and I appreciate that. I try not to have expectations. Like, I stopped watching, you know, I know Kevin vouched for this, do the same things. Both stopped watching trailers a long time ago. Like, I stopped having expectations a long time ago for things. I feel like I come out of a lot of experiences better with that, especially with film and TV. Like,
this show, I think the challenge with it has been just sticking with it, like, because right now, as we record, it's May of 2020, and the show's been on hiatus for just about a year.
Oh, yeah.
And it's weird because we know that it's been in the can since last summer, so they're really just sitting on it, or I don't know if it's really just taking that long for the digital effects. I don't know what the situation is, but the if you stuck with this show and made it a point to watch it whenever it came on, I think you're going to enjoy it. You know, it may have a second life here in the future, because it may be better to binge watch it once it's all done and all together.
And I would definitely agree, because, like I said, that's part of the thing where, and I mean, we got in touch with a few different people along the way. Like I said, I've been trying to, you know, coordinate who's going to be on what episodes of this show, whatever. And obviously people have their favorite things and whatever. And like I said, a lot of people just stick with the films because they started watching this show and, oh, it started out a little too slow, so I gave up on it. I don't know at what point people gave up on it, but it's just like anything else. Not everything is, you know, gigantic right out of the gate. You know, I mean, even Iron Man as the film itself, good, you know, very good film, and led the way to set up the entirety of the universe, but they didn't necessarily have, like, that expectation of this is going to set up this gigantic multi-billion-dollar thing or whatever. It was enjoy it as a film, and then they built up on it. I feel like people, like Ellsworth, you just said about expectations, I feel like too many people went in thinking that on ABC they were going to get the Avengers every week, and that's just not right to go into it thinking that.
Right, it's not reality. That can't happen.
They're going to reference them every week, at least sure. For a while.
Sure, and I mean, and sure, they'll have Samuel show up on episode 2 at the end to, like, keep you hooked in. So
yeah, and I gotta say, I haven't gone back and watched season 1 since season 1 was airing.
Same.
And I really had no recollection. Like, I knew Mike Peterson was a character, and but I had no recollection of him being in the first scene before they even show the little S.H.I.E.L.D. logo. You know, I had no recollection of that. I had zero recollection of Nick Fury showing up at the end of episode 2 and doing that little cameo that he did there. But I'm happy that we are covering the first 3 episodes, because apparently my earliest memory of this show is a specific scene at the end of episode 3 where Skye is running away on Ian Quinn's compound. And that somehow, say what you will about it, is what lodged in my brain and is apparently my earliest memory of this show. And I didn't realize it was from episode 3. I thought it was from much later.
Wow.
Well, I mean, I remember the Nick Fury. I didn't remember when it happened. I remember the Nick Fury cameo because if, like, watching this, because it's on Netflix, at least here and now when we're recording this, but I believe that was, like, it wasn't post credits because they don't really do that on TV, but like they would end the show and then normally it would be right before the screen kind of shrinks down and they show you scenes for next time or whatever. Like in later seasons, there's like a voiceover where it's just like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will return in a moment or something like that. And then they do what would arguably be the post credits scene if this were a film. And I remember kind of in the buildup, they had mentioned Maria Hill was going to be in the first one. And then they said, oh, stay tuned, you know, at the end of episode two or whatever, like they had promoted that, you know, Nick Fury was going to be there because a lot of people, I think they were really trying to get that film audience because, you know, obviously it's Coulson. And like we said earlier, like the cast was nobody that we really knew. Like obviously Clark Gregg as Coulson and Ming-Na Wen had, you know, many other credits, but for the most part, almost everybody else was relatively unknown. So they really kind of tried to use that very much at the beginning of let's get, you know, Kobe Smulders in as Maria Hill and Samuel L. Jackson in as Nick Fury. And like we said, reference the Avengers a lot in the first few and whatever. But I think they did it really well, like in these first few to kind of get the audience in and, you know, but we also, like we said, they set up who the characters are and kind of what their dynamics are or what they could be. And they set up enough mystery to hopefully keep you wanting more.
For sure. And did either of you notice that Fitzsimmons' plan to rescue Coulson when he was held captive by Camilla and her team was the same as Spider-Man and Iron Man's plan to rescue Doctor Strange when he was being tortured by Ebony Maw in Infinity War?
Wait, what?
I did not.
No.
So basically their plan was when Peter says, you remember that old movie Aliens? And they blow the hole in the side of the spaceship, yeah, and it sucks out Ebony Maw, and they rescue Doctor Strange.
Right.
Basically, the same thing happens here in episode two. When Coulson's being held captive by Camilla, and Fitzsimmons take control of the 084 and blow a hole in the side of the plane.
Yep. Wow.
I didn't even pick up on that, yeah.
Good call, Kev. Oh, what?
That's the first thing I thought of. I was like, oh, wait, they went back to that later.
Wow, man, that's a good call.
So out of these first three, I mean, I don't necessarily want to say, like, do we have a favorite, but did any one of them in particular stick out more than one any of the others to anybody?
I think the third episode is when they really kind of get rolling and they integrate Sky and they become a team there, kind of working together at the end of episode two, and they really put Sky out in the field and get everybody involved in episode three. That's the one that stuck out to me. Like I said, I really had zero memory of the first two, but
three and she's still keeping you guessing which side she's dancing on in the beginning.
Very much so.
Yeah,
like even in episode three, she looks like she's trying to do a deal, but then she's like playing him. So it's still is she dancing good or dancing bad still? Because I know that she's, you know, I feel like she's playing both sides kind of at the same right now.
Yeah, because you can't be expected to just give up on everything you believe in and you know, just jump right in with this government agency. But at the same time, I think that was her when she wrote on the paper that she knew she was busted. So she wrote on the paper, S.H.I.E.L.D. is listening. I think that's kind of borrowing from the fact that they told her there is no truth serum. So right. She knew at that point Ward was just playing her. So now she's like, all right, I'm in that position now. So I have to do that.
Right. It's kind of telling the truth to tell a lie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is the best way to lie is you mix truth with it.
Kind of like Juliet does to Kate when she handcuffs her and Lost.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Sorry, you know, I'm watching a lot of shows at one time, Paul.
Oh, I'm the exact same way. I recently, just slightly off topic, I like to watch something as I fall asleep. I wear glasses, so I like it to be something I've seen before, so I can take my glasses off and not necessarily be like, oh, what did I miss or whatever. And I reached out to a friend of mine recently and said, what could I rewatch while I fall asleep? And he gave me a list of about 10 shows, and about 7 of them I've watched in the last 3 to 4 months. And he's like, what's going on? I'm like, well, I've been out of work for a little while now, so, you know, I have nothing else to do.
I was like, yeah, right? I feel you. I'm there. I'm definitely excited about the rest of the show, man. I mean, I want to see where it goes, and I have to thank you guys again, because I always said I would give it another watch, but I really was going to wait till the last season came out.
Well, it's funny, because like Kevin said, like, I'm the same way. I haven't watched this since it was originally on, and I know I've said that a few times over the course of these podcasts, but like, I have not went back and really rewatched anything in the MCU. Like I said, I watched all the films leading up to this series, because this is kind of what made me go, okay, I want to get into this, because it's Joss Whedon. Obviously, by that point, I was like, okay, I'm in. I saw what they were doing, kind of, they were, you know, kept building and building and building. So I'm like, I get it, I'm in. But I'm not, as much as I go back and rewatch stuff, I've never gone back and watched like any of the, I may have watched like an episode twice, you know, like right before or right after maybe one of the films comes out or something like that, or I'll, you know, watch it with somebody else, like a random episode here or there. But I've never gone back and rewatched this. So in a certain sense, as much as I know what's going to happen, I was kind of like Kevin, where there were certain things that I just completely forgot happened this early on. So it is almost like watching it, I don't want to say for the first time, but kind of for the first time again.
And for me, it was pretty much the same, some very vague memories. And what I used to do, I don't think I've seen any episode of this show more than twice, because maybe I'd go back and review the previous week's episode prior to watching the new one as it was airing. But aside from that, it's not like I ever really dove back into it. So it's really interesting to see, especially knowing how far it's come and where it's going to go in the future. Or the past.
Well, I hope you guys know that now I'm going to be like randomly hitting you both up, like talking about this, because I don't know anybody else that's watching this show.
Well, hey, man, I mean, we got episodes coming up if we want to keep this going with the, you know, the three of us on the season one Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing.
I'm not going to stop now, man. I mean, I might as well. I mean, I'm invested this far into it. And I do want to see how it ties in more. And
so, okay, so with that, and like we've kind of said certain things here and there, but like if you had to speak to people out there, Ellsworth, and say kind of why they perhaps should get into this if they never did, like what would be your kind of selling point as to why to get into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. if they're just the film fans?
It's because if you're into the MCU, this is a smaller pocket of that universe, a different perspective with a team that so far gives you characters that have aspects of other characters that you find throughout life that are in the MCU as well. You do have, you know, a little bit of that comedy. You get some badass, like the fights, some wits. You get to see people use their brain to outsmart other people and come up with things. And you get to put all these people together, and everybody knows when you put a team like this together, you're going to get those ups and downs, and it just makes for one good television. You know, it has that good television. You're getting a decent storyline, and you're getting, you know, your fun and entertainment. But like we talked about before, you're getting that other pocket of the universe. And if you're really into this and you're really into, you know, learning about everything, seeing something from a different perspective is the best thing you can do if you're really into anything. And it's cool to see it from a different perspective. And that's, I would sell it. Like, that's the way I would sell it. Enjoy it.
And not just one storyline either, multiple storylines.
It's definitely going to be it looks like it's going to be a bunch of stuff here. I mean, you're going to be talking about this character. You know, we're going to go back to, you know, I'm sure we're getting back to Mike and his storyline. You know, we have the team and individuals. We have Coulson's storyline. Sky storyline, Ward, and then them as a team, and whoever else they throw in this mix. And again, continue to show you this ever-expanding universe. I feel like it's like what they did with Star Wars. They're just showing you more of the universe that you didn't get to see. And if you're really into it, you should want to see it.
And the last thing we see Dr. Hall. He gets sucked in the gravitonium, and then we see he's still there.
Yeah, man, his hand freaking came out. So that's, you know, that was dope.
And we find out, you know, Sky's a, you know, was a high school dropout, and you get a little history, and she grew up in foster homes, and, you know, her parentage and her calling people mom. It's interesting.
And it's interesting how you said that about, like, you know, it's people teaming up and you have the mix and whatever. And that was what Joss Whedon said when he was putting together, you know, when he was in the early stages of writing the Avengers, was, you know, this is a group of people who aren't all supposed to be able to work together, and they're all in the same room, and then they figure out a way to do it, and that's a family. And arguably that's what all of these characters are as well. And like, all of them have said it at various times in these first few episodes of, I don't know how I'm supposed to work with this person, or where exactly do I fit in with this group. And I feel like that's what makes for a good, you know, friend group or a family or however you want to call it, is they all have to figure out how they're going to work together for better or worse.
100% agree. And the Avengers, by far, still one of the favorite. My favorite scene in the MCU is that circle shot of them coming together and him saying, call it, Cap. That literally right there was it. I was like, boom, we came together finally. We're done. I'm good. Like, because I love that, because as someone who's always kind of like mixed in different groups and seen what it's like, it is hard to come together sometimes. And this show shows that it's not easy, and it's not always, you can't just blindly go in. Like you said, you can't just give up what you believe in. So you can't blindly just go in trusting someone like that. That's cool that they're building on this, and they're actually showing, you know, that realism of what these characters are going to go through to build on these relationships to become a team. Because I guess I'm assuming ultimately they are going to become a team.
And when you think back to the Avengers, like you said, what brought the Avengers together? What did they have to avenge?
The death of Coulson.
Exactly. So he you see him doing that in a different way here with a new team. And I like how they said in the second episode there, when Camilla told him he's having a midlife crisis, and he's really like, it's more like an afterlife crisis. And you can basically use that as the selling point for this whole show. And it's the character who brought the Avengers together, essentially, a whole show based around him and his quote unquote afterlife crisis.
And so, again, being a Joss Whedon fan, you know, I'm a big, huge fan of Buffy, as I've talked about many times. There was an episode of that show called The Zeppo. It was referencing Zeppo Marx, one of the forgotten Marx brother, because everybody knows Groucho and Harpo and whatever. And in that show, the character of Xander was the only character that didn't have anything quote unquote special about him. One of the characters was the Slayer. She had these powers. One of them was a witch, so she had powers. One of them was, you know, a vampire. And then there was the guy who was the Watcher, who he was kind of in charge and, you know, gave them directions and had all the knowledge and the history. And Xander often didn't know where he fit. He was like, a lot of people don't necessarily look at him and think, oh, he's one of my favorite characters. And there was an entire episode where the rest of the characters were off and they were battling something. But that was like the C storyline of the episode. Like, he had his own little adventure and he inadvertently saved the world. And no one knows that he did it because he was just off. And it was sort of a way to give him like a victory. You know, he was the one that everybody kind of forgets about, and he doesn't know his place. But everybody else realizes he's the heart of their group. And Joss Whedon kind of said in the writing of this that that was kind of the basis for this to a certain extent, was it's an ensemble, but it's about a character who isn't the extraordinary whatever. You know, Tony Stark has his suits and his wit and his knowledge and everything like that. Obviously, Hulk has the power to turn into the Hulk, and, you know, Thor is a god. Fantastic joke, by the way, from Maria Hill about you haven't been that close to his arms. I cracked up. You know what I mean? But, like, they all have their own things. But realistically, he's, you know, Coulson is an Avenger as well. At least they all, like everybody in the Avengers team, considered him to be an Avenger. But he didn't have any powers. Even Nick Fury doesn't have powers, quote unquote, but he has, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. basically at his disposal. And so to kind of give the Zeppo, to use that term, like kind of their own story, and it's like, here's like we said already, you know, it's another pocket of that universe, but here's the story about somebody that you wouldn't necessarily consider to be the main guy or the hero, and he gets to be a hero arguably every week, him and his team that he puts together,
because he is the heart.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and you forget that that's a vital piece of everything. Like, you need that.
I saw a thing recently where it was like, you know, you have X, you've seen those things where it's like you have X amount of dollars, pick your Avengers team, and you have certain people on there that people are going, oh, well, I wouldn't pick that person. And it's like, but no, but okay, so they don't have the strength of, you know, Thor or the Incredible Hulk or whatever, but they have the weapons, or they have the intelligence, and you know, like, right. Coulson wasn't on that list, but like for him, he is, and many other characters are as well, but he is the heart of that team and this team.
Yeah, you're looking too you're not looking deep enough. You're just looking at the surface. Yeah,
and he likes to collect trading cards. That's relatable to me, so.
I did crack. He did mention that at one point where he said something about somebody said he sacrificed his life or something, and he mentioned, and my trading cards or something.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty great.
Man. Yeah, you know what? It's it's still early here on the West Coast, so I'm definitely gonna probably binge. I can probably get about 10 episodes in.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Before I need to go to bed tonight.
Just jot down some notes, because it doesn't mean we're going to be recording 10 episodes anytime soon. So
no,
just
but
stays fresh in your memory.
The problem is once I'll try to joggle, but once I start, I can't stop. That's what I'm saying. Like, I stopped myself here because I didn't want to watch too many ahead and start I didn't know where I needed to or not needed to be able to reference to. And I didn't want to start referencing to ahead if I wasn't sure and forgot, oh, shit, that's in a different episode.
Well,
so
yeah,
I just stopped on 3 for the argument of this discussion, but.
Yeah, that is one of the I don't want to say negatives, but like, and like Kevin said before, like, this is a show that you could binge. You know, and not just these first few episodes, but arguably the entire thing. And I do kind of hope, like you said, Kevin, I hope this can, you know, can kind of have a second life. And we know, you know, obviously Marvel TV is going to be much different going forward, because now it's been, you know, kind of rebranded with the film studio thing and whatever. But I do hope that they at least keep a lot of this, or the kind of essence behind the show, alive.
I'm just glad they're finishing it off and not just chopping it and calling it quits.
Yeah, they did give them a nice little ending, and they're letting them go out on their own terms now. So very interested to see where it goes.
Because like I said, do you remember when that was, Kevin, that I told you that I saw a S.H.I.E.L.D. car somewhere on a lot near here, and they were filming something?
If it wasn't prior to last summer, it probably wasn't for this.
Because I remember texting you. It was.
Oh, I think you sent me the picture. Yeah.
I just don't remember when it was. Because that's what re-sparked this whole idea of me wanting to watch this show. I've been wanting to watch the show again, but again, I get in these tendencies where I binge watch. I get to the last season, and then I got to wait for this last season to come out. And by the time it comes out, I've lost my interest.
Well, you'll be jumping right into it here, I think, because the new season starts airing here in the next 2 weeks. And I think it's only going to be like 10 or 12 episodes. So you'll be pretty much caught up right in the middle and be able to do it all at once for the most part.
Oh, wow. Really? Okay. Then I'm just going to go ahead and try to like be like finishing last season as the next season starts. I did that with Game of Thrones when I got into Game of Thrones. I binge watched 5 seasons to get ready for that.
Well, that's, if I'm not mistaken, at 2 different points, but that's kind of how Kevin and I got into Lost, was watching everything right up before the respective seasons that we got into it.
Yeah.
Yep, same.
Yeah, I mean, I did the same thing. I didn't get into that till late. But I'm glad I got into this now.
That's what I was just going to say. I'm glad that you actually gave this a chance, because like I said, so many people just didn't, or they like, I have another friend of ours. I reached out and I said, hey, you know, would you potentially want to discuss the show at some point? And he said, you know, he's like, oh, I'm kind of watching other shows right now, whatever. And he's like, plus I heard it starts out really slow and I don't feel like going through it. And I'm just like, yeah, but if you understand that it starts out slow, but you basically are acknowledging that it doesn't stay that way, shouldn't you perhaps want to push through that a little bit? Like, if you know it gets good, I mean, I get it. You don't know when or where or whatever, but wouldn't you want to push through till when it gets good, just so you could experience the good?
Yes. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yes.
I mean, I think, like I said, I think this started out very well. And I think it, because of, you know, like, so Kevin already said, like, you know, and several people out there know, and without giving too much away, there's a big turn in the next Captain America movie, which, you know, we'll be doing the podcast for pretty soon, whatever. But there's a big turn in that, which, of course, you know, reflects back in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series. And I think that was arguably what they needed. Like, that was kind of the thing slowing them down to a certain extent, was because they knew, Kev, I'm assuming you have your production notes like you tend to do. So, you know, we get into kind of who was writing and whatever, but like the showrunners have said, they were, you know, they, not that they worked in tandem with what was going on in the films, but they knew enough to be able to reflect in the TV series, because realistically, it's not a bad thing to have a weekly advertisement for your movie franchise either, because that's what this could arguably be as well, as, you know, weekly advertisements for your films. But they knew a bit of what was happening, so knowing that turn or that switch, that big plot point was going to happen, they couldn't necessarily do as much. But like I said earlier, I think with the limits they had in terms of that story, that perhaps was like, okay, so we can't tell the full story we want, but let's use, you know, more of the effects, and let's do a good job with the story we have and the casting, like we said about, you know, the cast being very good. And you know, what's the thing, Kev, that they always say Paul Heyman used to do in wrestling? Accentuate the positives and hide the negatives. And I feel like this did a really good job with that.
Yeah, and you're right. It was after the Winter Soldier, it was really the kick in the ass they needed to get rolling. And that's when they really gained the freedom to do some stuff they never would have been able to before that.
Oh, well, I'm fucking excited. Sorry, I'm using language. I'm excited.
Well, so does that mean, and, you know, forgive me if I'm being a bit too forward, does that mean that the three of us would want to come back and do the next 3 episodes sometime soon?
I would be glad to anytime, man. It would be an honor, Paul. It'd be great to come back and talk to you guys. I'm always down to talk nerd, and I appreciate the opportunity to get to talk to, you know, some other educated guys in this field. And yeah, let's do it. I know Kevin's about it.
Yeah, if I can make it work, I will.
All right, good to know.
Kevin loves to talk, man. I can't get Kevin to shut up ever, bro. He talks so much, man.
Kevin has been, dude. and I say this to him off mic. I try to say it on mic as much as I can. Kevin is one of those fantastic friends that I don't think he's ever really turned me down if I've really been passionate about wanting to talk with something on, and he's literally been on all four shows that I host, and he's almost never turned me down for wanting to talk about anything. He's fantastic with that.
Nah, man, Kevin's a good dude. I don't know if he told you, we've been friends for a very, very long time, man.
I appreciate the praise, boys, and I just try to stay humble over here. But basically, all you ever have to do is ask. If you ask and I can do it, I'm going to do it. I'm a sucker.
So, yeah, I mean, I'll continue to take notes on it, and you guys let me know.
Okay, so speaking of that, so you had notes. Did you have anything in your notes that we didn't cover?
No, I mean, we honestly, you guys covered you guys jumped on a lot of the points. I mean, a lot of my notes were just like, just to keep me on track too of what was going on. You know, I did like the whole Cole. I will say, I did like at the end of the first episode that Colson, Mike, when they're face to face with each other and they're having that whole speech about being stepped on, and he's saying that they're not heroes because of that. They're heroes because of what they do with it and stuff. I really just, that whole little speech at the end, it kind of stuck with me because I, you know, I'm kind of that guy. I like that. Like, I believe in that. Like, and I feel like it also played on, you know, the whole Captain America. Like, you know, you give a guy strength that's always had it, he's not gonna respect it. You know, kind of thing. It plays on the heart.
Yeah.
And what's inside? And what's inside is important.
And I think, yeah, like we talked about it a bit in The Incredible Hulk, and like you said, Captain America, that very much plays a part of a lot of that stuff, because that's what they said. It was, you know, the super soldier serum sort of thing. And yeah, whatever's inside of you is going to get, you know, amped up a bit more.
Yeah, if you're, I don't think it's a spoiler to say you'll enjoy where they take Mike Peterson if you were enjoying his episode.
Well, like I said, I'm gonna give the rest of it I'm gonna go ahead and put it in high gear and give the other episodes a watch and see where I get to, and I'll just take some notes as I go so that if I get too far along and I have to reference back, I'm good. I am a bit of an extremist, so when I do things, I kind of do them to the extreme. So there's a little bit of a chance that I might watch the rest of the show.
Not you.
I really don't have any other plans for the weekend.
Fair enough.
I mean, shoot. A good movie hasn't come out in so long. I got nothing to watch anymore.
Movies? What are they?
Yeah, right.
Well, do we have anything else that we want to talk about? Because, like, for people listening and even for you guys, I know this is a bit different than sort of how we normally do stuff like this. But and I think Kevin can agree with this. With Lost with Friends, it got a bit too, I don't want to say by the book, but it got a bit too, I don't know, because it would be very much me going, okay, this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened, let's discuss. And it was fine. There was absolutely nothing wrong with that format. But I personally like this kind of more general. We can cover multiple episodes at once, because we would often do that with Lost with Friends anyway, where we would reference back or reference to something that happened kind of in the future. And I don't know about you guys. I like this more general conversation format than, especially when it, because you don't want to necessarily do this happened, then this happened, then this happened, let's discuss, covering three episodes, because if not, it would take, you know, 20 something weeks just to get through season one of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., whereas now we've done three episodes of the TV program in one episode of the podcast.
Absolutely. And with Lost, I think it worked because there was always seemed to be so much to dive into. This show, you know, with all due respect, it's not that. You know, you don't have to sit there and analyze every little scene, every little thing someone says or does. So, it's a different animal and it takes a different approach.
Yeah, I don't really like conformatory anyway, so I'm cool with it. Just, you know, open talk. I don't really like guidelines and rules and restrictions there, Paul.
I mean, we don't really have many here on the Clock Shelves Podcast Network, I'll tell you.
I actually like, no, man, I'll be honest, I've listened, I've listened to some other stuff before, man. Anything Kevin's ever posted or promoted, if he puts it up, I've listened to it, man.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
When you spoke earlier, I recognized the voice, so I'm glad I got to do this. And yes, whenever you're ready to do this again, and I'll actually be on East Coast time probably next time too, so it'll be a little easier for me.
All right, good to know. But one thing we do have a bit of a conformity on is, unless we have anything else, I know Kevin tends to do production notes sort of at the ends of these things. Unless we have more about the episodes, Kev, this would be your time.
I do usually do that. Obviously, you know, it's always been one episode to cover, and where I cover who directs and who writes and the date it aired. However,
I don't want excuses.
Given the situation here that we're doing three episodes and there's three different writers, actually multiple different writers, three different directors, I'm going to forgo that for now. Maybe we'll revisit it at a later time.
Oh, and I was so ready because I was so sure you weren't going to be able to pronounce Marissa Tankerowen's last name.
I looked at that name and I definitely would not have gotten it right. You are correct.
Because for those who don't know, again, being the big Joss Whedon fan that I am, he works with a lot of the same people, as I've referenced many times. So Joss Whedon wrote and directed the pilot, but he also co-wrote the pilot with his brother, Jed Whedon, and Jed Whedon's wife, Marissa Tankerowen. They work together. If anybody has ever seen Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog, they did the writing and directing for that and things like that. And actually, Jed and Marissa co-wrote all first three of these episodes. Episode two was also co-written, I have it up here, by Jeffrey Bell. And Jed and Marissa and Jeff Bell became the three showrunners for pretty much the remainder of the entire series, because obviously Jed and Marissa, knowing Joss and working with him, and Jeff Bell used to work on The X-Files. He worked on the last few seasons of Angel, and I believe he worked on Dollhouse temporarily with Joss Whedon, so he was kind of brought in as well. And a lot of the credits, even I'm seeing here, the director of the second episode is David Solomon, who's very much a Joss Whedon kind of stalwart in terms of, you know, the series director. As we know, a lot of TV series tend to have that one person who is the overall main director of a show. So, but I was so getting ready because I knew, Kev, you were going to say, like, Marissa, I don't know. And I was going to be like, Tankerowen, because I know that one.
You're absolutely right. I would have butchered it. But I'm glad that you did the research on this one, because I would have had to Google every single one of those people, except maybe Joss. But yeah, you seem to be familiar with their work and know who they are and know how to pronounce their names, most importantly. So very happy to hand over those duties to you, at least for now.
Well, you might recognize the Tankerowen name, just really quickly, because her brother, Kevin Tankerowen, he created the successful web series Mortal Kombat Legacy, and he's been allegedly getting ready to do a Mortal Kombat film for quite a few years now. Don't know if you're a big fan of Mortal Kombat or not, but or if you've ever seen anything like that. But he's also done many TV series that you probably may have seen his name as a director or whatever. But yeah,
I played Mortal Kombat on Sega Genesis, and that's about where it ended with me.
All right then. But yeah, chances are if it's something like that, like the Joss Whedon related stuff, you can always count on me to know that sort of thing. But yeah,
I assumed as much.
But do we have anything else we want to discuss with regards to the first three episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I think we're good.
I think we covered the bases, man.
All right. Well, then, it is now the time of the show to let them know where, if they want to keep the conversation going with you guys, where can they find you all around the internet?
You can find me on all forms of social media at Seventh Power. Spell it out. Replace the V with a 7.
You can find me on Twitter at The Magician. That's T-H-E-M-A-J-I-S-H-N. And on Instagram at Ellsworth Certified.
For more on me, your voice of choice, check me out on Twitter and Instagram at JPGRB. You can follow my second Instagram at JPCS.PICS. I use it to post pictures and daily things going on in my life, mostly food. A lot of food going on there. For more on all of us, you can check out Clock Shelves on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Clock Shelves. That's CLOCKSHELVES. For archives of this podcast and all our other podcasts, they are available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please leave a review and some star ratings. We love that sort of thing around here. You probably got this early on Patreon. We have different tiers over there with different things to unlock at each tier. That's where you can go throw some dough if you choose to do so. And if you've missed any of the stuff I said here, all information and links can easily be found on clockshelves.com. That's the hub for everything. Clockshelves.com. That's CLOCKSHELVES.COM.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for being on here. I'm glad we got to discuss this and kind of dissect a bit about these first three episodes. And like I said, having not rewatched this in a long time, as much as I know where the series is going, I'm excited to kind of go back and see kind of episode by episode how this kind of plays out. Because like we talked about earlier, you don't necessarily remember what happened in what episodes. So I'm excited. I hope you guys are too. And until next time, thanks for listening, true believers.